It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. This is part four in our five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County Supervisors. Today, we're pleased to be joined in studio by Sherry Brennan, who represents District 1. Supervisor Brennan, good morning, and thank you for coming on Motherlode Views.
Good morning, BJ, and thank you for the invitation.
So first off, District 1, where does it all cover?
So it's the city of Sonora, and then if you head north out of town on Highway 49, and then east on Parrott's Ferry, up Big Hill. You get at the top of Big Hill and kind of come straight down the hill and divide Phoenix Lake into two sections. I have that piece that would be the west side of Phoenix Lake, back towards Mono Way, and circle back around to the city of Sonora. So I have pretty much the center portion of our county.
Any issues specific to District 1 that you're working on right now or in the works?
Oh, there's a number of issues. I would, I guess, like folks to know that we're working really hard to try and find some businesses for the Sonora Plaza. We've got a couple of large buildings there that have been vacant, and it's my understanding that we actually have somebody that will be pulling permits for the OSH piece of it. And I know we're still really working to get someone interested in the piece that was had the cost you less. And then I know that we've also got a project going out towards Hess Ranch that is going through the permitting process that will be a hotel establishment and some ancillary businesses. And so I think both of those are going to be good for my district, good for the county.
You know, your district and the county as a whole, how do you feel that the economy is faring right now?
Well, you know, our rural counties, we're always behind what we see at the national level, and I guess it would depend on who you're talking to. Got a number of businesses in my district that are doing quite well, and then have some of our businesses, not just in my district, but countywide, that are really challenged. Most recently, like with the PSPS event, where we had power shut off, and so businesses have to go dark. And if you're a business that's reliant on, say, the tourism industry, when we have, you know, either a lot of smoke in the area, fire, or now like these PSPS events, it's certainly going to affect your bottom line. And so that's probably really going to be dependent on who you talk to and what the impacts are of some of the things that are going on locally from weather events or fire events.
When those planned power outages occur, what were some of the challenges that the county faced?
Good question, because those were new events for all of us. And I would say that so with PG&E controlling, you know, these events based on the weather information they get, there was good communication with the county, so we had some time to prepare. And by prepare, I mean we had, you know, we have vulnerable populations. We have a lot of partners that we're working with when we have these events. And so we had some good communication directly with the county. But I know there were a lot of challenges with PG&E's website, and, you know, for folks to get on and see what, you know, if their specific area was going to be impacted. I think they had a lot more traffic on the website than what they were prepared to handle. And I would think when we look at that last event that we had, there was a lot of confusion on what part of the county was going to be out, what part of the county wasn't. But, you know, at this time, I really want to thank both our staff, because they were front and center on this, and from all of the accounts that I've heard, they did a great job. And our partners, we have a lot of partners out there, and a lot of folks stepped up and really assisted us through this. And so I want to thank them for all those efforts and recognize that these events, they're not going to be one-time events, unfortunately. I think this is going to be somewhat of a new normal until we work through a lot of what drives these catastrophic fires. And where PG&E is, if they have those conditions, if they're told through their weather services that those three criteria are being met on calling the event, they're going to call them. And then it's very difficult when the winds don't materialize. And so we're going to have to really look at what else we can do to be prepared and how we can work. We have to work to minimize what are the drivers of those events.
Leads into my next question. And during the first of the year, Tuolumne County Supervisors approved a chairman's initiative to put fire prevention front and center during this current year. You are put in a leadership role on the board when it comes to that topic. So what has been happening when it comes to fire prevention?
Yeah, and again, appreciate being able to update the listeners on this, because we have, the board did prioritize that. And so with that, we established our fire resiliency committee, and we modeled it much like the tree mortality work group that we had, because it was very successful in getting those dead trees down. In fact, I think we were second in the leading counties in the number of dead trees that we took down. And so in modeling after that, we have all of the agencies at the table and are trying to drive some of the solutions, because we really do have a vegetation crisis. You know, our fire experts tell us there's three things that drive these mega catastrophic fires, and that's the weather, the terrain, and the vegetation. We can't do anything about the weather, really, and what the terrain is, you know, we have to own that terrain. But what we can really have an effect over is the vegetation. And so the county is been really pushing it, looking at getting some funding in some different areas to really make a difference, both on our public lands through the Master Stewardship Agreement and working on that. And we've seen close to $5.5 million in funding come to the county through the CCI grants. And then from the Forest Service, we've prepped over 1,000 additional acres in timber sale and have done mastication on 400 acres, and we're going to be looking at doing another 2,000 acres in timber sales next spring. And this is above the normal work that the Forest Service is doing, and we're really trying to key in on those wooey areas, you know, because that's an area where we can, through the Master Stewardship Agreement, get some work done that's really going to be impactful for protection for our communities. The other piece of that is we recently did a Good Neighbor Authority with the BLM to treat hazardous fuels on their lands within Tuolumne County. And then we had our county roadside chipping and brushing program, which was funded through $1.6 million CCI money. And then the other piece of that, aside with looking for funding and prioritizing and strategically looking at how we can make Tuolumne County more fire resilient, we also have our citizens advisory group that we established. And those folks, our citizens, are helping us in getting our communities fire safety, FireWise, done. We're working on what would be a CERT program, which is the Certified Emergency Response Teams, put in place. And there are so many different pieces to this, and we need everyone to be participating and understanding that they have a role to play. I'd give you a quick example that I think really highlights the partnerships that are really surfacing. We have two of our citizens, David Schweitzer and Joe Silva, who came up with a project, and it's really looking at all of our county schools and are our kids safe. You know, if we had, heaven forbid, if we had an incident like we've seen in some of the other communities, Paradise, how do we help protect our kids? And so they're going after some grant pieces and have pulled a whole lot of partners into this to make our school site safer by building a buffer around them. But then those sites are also very strategically located so that they could be a safe zone, if you will, in the event of a fire, and you had to get to a place and have some opportunity where firefighters could get to you and make a stand. And so they'll serve two purposes. But those were two citizens that stepped up and wanted to be part of the solution and brought a whole bunch of folks to the table and are moving forward with that project.
Pick up on this conversation in just a second. We're talking with Sherry Brennan, the supervisor for District 1, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We are in the midst of our five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. Last week we heard from Supervisor Anaya Kirk. Next week we'll finish up the show, the series, talking with Supervisor Ryan Campbell. You can find the past shows archived on mymotherlode.com. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment with Supervisor Brennan is coming up in just a minute.